you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
But before we get into the show, if you like the SDR show and you want to have amazing sex, we want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. So it takes the edge off, it lowers the sensitivity, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. Just better sex guaranteed, no pesky subscription required. It's easy to use, it helps you last longer, and it gives you more confidence. What more could you ask for? So just go to promescent.com, that's promescent.com. There is not even a promo code, it don't matter. You have a 60-day money-back guarantee. You could feel confident. You can know you last longer. You want to have a little more excitement, look and feel more manly. You go to promescent.com. That's what you should do, and do it now.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton and James Mattern. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. I'm in my apartment on 73rd and the Upper East Side, but I just sound a lot better this time.
Yeah, you know what's wild, dude? We are talking to SNL royalty.
The best.
Chris Kattan.
He was an absolute sweetheart who I feel that if he drank, he would drink with us.
You know what's funny is that I do a lot of pre-prep, you know, and I was a little worried because you hear stories. Yeah, he's not a nice guy, but he was a fucking nice guy in the world. He was awesome.
Hey, not only was he nice, he was warm. He felt like if you came in at like in the same building and you're like, oh man, I'm cold, he would make you hot cocoa or have an assistant make it for you.
I sent a picture to, I think, both of you. He followed me on Instagram immediately after the interview.
He told us to do it, and I don't fall for that shit, and I did it. I'm still waiting, guys. Chris, what the fuck, man?
I did it. He didn't follow me back.
First my dad, now you, goddammit, Chris.
If you are an SNL fan, a Chris Kattan fan, you could have heard this 5 days ago, commercial free. If you went to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code SDR, get 25% off a 7-day free trial, every episode we've ever done, and this Chris Kattan episode 5 days early, or just listen anywhere. We just want you to share it.
Be nice.
We have been killing it. We had the best month ever in October, so maybe November will even beat that. But here it is right now. Oh, thank you.
You're goddamn right.
Thank
shots,
you.
Shots on us.
It's because James has become almost the official secondary co-host.
I've tried so hard to be the second banana. I can't believe I'm reaching this. I'll have a speech next time.
All right, here it is right now, the Chris Kattan episode of...
SDR yes. Show.
There we go. Loved it. Thank you.
This is the intro to the shit show.
It is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again in a badass Journey t-shirt is James Mattern. How are you, buddy?
Baby, we ain't ever gonna stop believing. What up?
I just got asked to interview the Filipino guy that filled in for Steve Perry to do him, but he has a very thick accent, so I don't know if I want to do that. But
bring
thank
me
you,
along.
James.
It's going to work out. I'll
Shannon,
translate.
Of course. Shannon back with her kitty cats producing and now very honored to have this man on the show. God damn it, am I a fan. Such a great honor to have him on. You know him from SNL, from countless movies. Two new movies coming out, one on December 10th called Famous, and one that's out now called 40 Love, which I'm about 40 minutes through right now. I didn't make it through the whole movie before the interview. And a great book that came out years ago that I read excerpts from, Baby Don't Hurt Me, Stories and Scars from the Saturday Night Live era, came out in 2019. It is Chris Kattan. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you guys?
God damn it, it's great to have you on. We're all such fans. You don't know how excited we were knowing you were coming on the show for the last couple of weeks. It's really been great.
Oh, thanks, man. That means a lot. I'm a big fan of you guys.
Oh, too. I don't believe that for a second, sir. Not
he's a
even
great
for
actor. I believe it. I believe he's got pictures of us on his wall.
Wow. Wow, it's a great...
We had a pre-interview, and I became an instant fan.
Instant fan. There you go. All right, so first thing that I saw in doing my research, that, God damn it, I would love to see this. You are currently touring. I don't know if it was a one-off. You're doing some comedy dates, coming up the 26th of this month, the 27th at the Laugh Factory in San Diego, and then the 10th and 11th of December in Maryville, Tennessee at the Bird and the Book. Are they all with Tim Meadows and John Lovitz, or was that a special night?
No, that was a special night, but we're having another special one this weekend, actually, in Colorado.
I mean, God, I would love to. That should be like a permanent bill. That just is such a cool thing.
We get along very well. We're going to do it a couple times this year. We did it once last weekend. We did this before last year, too. I think it happens during the holidays mostly, but obviously because of COVID and stuff like that, we couldn't really, nobody could do anything unless you want to watch us on Zoom, which would be not the same thing. But so, you know, it's obviously, we're doing a couple shows together. So it's really cool. I mean,
that's really cool. Awesome to see the three of you in a picture together just warmed my soul. I don't know. Such funny, great guy. I just love it so much. And then I saw a picture on your Instagram that I don't know the context of, but boy, does everybody love the show. What are you doing with Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso? What was that picture about?
That that picture, thanks for following me, by the way, I suppose.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome for following you, I guess. I don't know.
No, thank you for following me. Another stand-up event that was at a place called Jam in a Van in Santa Monica. And, he did stand-up and I didn't know he did stand-up. I'm a fan of the show and a fan of his. And, you know, I did not know he did stand-up, but he was really funny.
Yeah. He's an interesting dude. A lot of people don't realize that, he wrote a lot of Ted Lasso, you know, and then he became a character because they couldn't find anyone to play that character as well as he was doing it. And so he became the character. Yeah. 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 He wrote a brilliant movie too.
Wow.
A brilliant movie where he plays a superhero. It's worth looking up. It's really was a great movie. Really fun.
What was that movie?
I can't think of the name off the top of my head. Oh, Jesus. If you just look up Brett Goldstein,
it's okay.
He hasn't done enough movies, but I really enjoyed that one. It came out maybe a year before Ted Lasso started. He wrote and starred in it and I think directed it. He's a really interesting dude. But anyway.
Very cool.
The part
Super
about
Bob.
Super Bob, that's it. Where he plays like an English like a janitor that gets superheroes. The only guy on the planet that has superheroes and he's a janitor. It's really funny. I recommend it tremendously.
Oh, that's very funny.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I definitely want to see that. I have some shorts too coming up that I directed and wrote as well.
Right. That's what I want to talk about. It's a digital sketch show called Hey Catan. At least that's the working title. What's the story? Like other SNL alumni are in it. Can you give us a little background on it?
We don't have SNL alum yet, but we're going to probably have that once I ask them, you know, if they wanted do one with me and stuff, you know, we'll see what happens. But I right now there's five of them and we're still shooting them and we're going to release them in a couple weeks. They look great. I wrote and directed them as well. And I'm in them opposite someone else usually or other kids or, you know, there's like, for example, this girl, Patty Guggenheim, who's in the Growlings. She's amazing. I use Growlings people too as well, which is a great, you know, amazing theater, and they have such talented people there. And but we're gonna release that and just go from there. I mean, that's where we're at. Like, you know, we just shot them over the summer, so now we're gonna release them and then just keep going.
The first time in years though that you've worked in a sketch comedy, because you're just doing movies and TV shows and stuff, but working in as a sketch show, is it the first time since SNL?
Yes, it is. It is. It's not, and it's not really. They're shorts too.
They're shorts, right? I know. I get it.
Different things like that. So it's a mix. It's a mixed bag of different things. It's because obviously nothing live or nothing like looks like a sketch. They're shot beautifully, and they're shot really well, and we have this great DP, and it's a great opportunity to kind of just do more than I usually get to do. I think I don't know, you know, it's when you have your own, get to do your own machine and have some people behind you that trust you, want to be part of the team and want to be part of do something funny and they like the script and they love, you know, doing it, that's just a great opportunity to do that too. I think a lot of, like you just said, you just gave an example regarding, you know, him doing the Ted Lasso thing, that he wrote it, I guess, like you said, I wasn't aware of that process, but he did that in order. And then he became a cast, but right. then he became a character on the show. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you need to create in order to go there, and you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, I get it. I'm sure. I have a friend who
with creative people, or I'm not, that's not what I'm saying about myself, but you know what I mean.
Sometimes I know. I get it. Also, sometimes it's because it's coming from you that no one's going to do it better than you. It makes sense.
That's a good way to put right. it. Yeah.
And you touched on this a little bit. Your father, like, correct me if I'm wrong, your father was Kip King, who I knew from doing the voice Taylor Smurf from the old Smurf TV shows. But was he a founder of the Groundlings? Is that right?
He was one of the original cast members. So therefore, he was one of the founders because he founded the theater with Gary Austin and Paul Rubens, who did Pee Wee, and Lorraine Newman and those guys. So he was there, he used to bring me to the shows. My parents divorced when I was two. So my dad would get half custody of me. That sounds weird nowadays. I don't know what to use. Custody of a child. He had me visit on the weekends. And,
it was forced visitation
on the weekends. And I would see him perform when I was like 7 years old. So that was a huge inspiration for me to see my father perform on stage. It was surreal because I was so, you know, she was a model, but she wasn't, she didn't like show business. Mm-hmm. And she didn't really bring me up as to someone who she wanted to be in show business because she knew it wasn't the healthiest of places to be
right.
for a child. You know, she was like, I really don't want to encourage you. And my dad was like, no, he's really talented. You got to encourage him. But my mom was like, let's not. And so I was educated on other things. Anyway, so the Groundlings, my dad was there and he performed and he was hilarious. He made so many people laugh and he passed away 8 years ago. But he was they actually one of the classrooms at the Groundlings is called the Kip King Room. And
that's wild.
Yeah, it was very sweet of them to do that. I had my dad's memorial there at the Groundlings, so they came up and they gave me a plaque, and mm-hmm. they said one of the they're opening the new school at the Groundlings, and we're gonna name one of the rooms of after your dad. And I thought that was really cool.
So the ground, which is very cool, but the Groundlings is where you and Will Ferrell came up together, right?
Yes.
And the great
Sherry O'Terry.
Sherry, that whole bunch of that crew came into SNL from that season. It seemed like that group of Groundlings was all handpicked at that time to come on. First part that I have a couple of questions with this, so bear with me. But first is what I love
I'll
is
bear.
That you and Will created the Roxbury guys there back then and brought it to SNL. And then the guy who wrote 40 Love, which is Fred Wolf, it was his idea to incorporate Jim Carrey and bring that onto the show back in SNL days, which is amazing that like all those things came together and full circle to the new movie.
Yeah, it really is. It is pretty fascinating. I mean, Fred's an awesome guy and that was his idea. And it was like, it just struck him. Like we did the sketches. Groundlings is a great place to come up with ideas like that. It's mm-hmm. They teach you how to write and they teach you how to come up with characters. And when you're in that place, you come up with characters like the Roxbury guys or, you know, like we did, you know, and or Mr. Peepers. I came up with that at the theater there. And so Fred was like just walking down the hallway one day and on the 17th floor, which is where the writers write and the offices are of the cast and Lauren's office, of course. He was just walking and said, and Jim Carrey was hosting. He was like, you know, you should really have Jim play a third guy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, this sketch was written for just Will and I, but I guess so. And we did. And then it just went from this level to that level because right. Jim Carrey is like Jim Carrey. So, and I reintroduced it with another song. And I thought, and I used to listen to that kind of music.
Right. I was saying, like, Hadaway owes you a check.
You like that kind of music.
Yeah. Yeah. I was saying, Hadaway owes you a check. You were the one that said, let's use What Is Love. He should have thanked you for years because that made a big difference in his career, I'm sure.
Maybe it did. We never heard from him. And that's what's so interesting.
No. He's been ghosting you guys?
Heard from him.
That's weird. It was everywhere. You think I thought for sure at one point he would come on and perform it in one of the sketches. Like, I'm surprised that never happened.
If he did that, I don't know if anyone would know what was happening.
Maybe that's true too. Yeah, that's true.
Who is that person?
He should at least send you a birthday card or buy you a turkey for Thanksgiving every year.
Turkey was great.
Every year after what you've done for him.
If I got a turkey from Hathaway, that would be the best, not only the best turkey, but probably the best turkey, but probably the best story I could tell anyone.
Oh, my God. And thank you for all my checks for the last 20 years, every time that shows and reruns.
Turkey from Hathaway.
What if when you pull the stuffing out, it just plays that song every time you stuff out stuffing? What is love? That would be the great. I think we just wrote a new sketch, everybody. Let's go.
Sketch, but I think that's an investment for an idea for a manufacturer.
Let's put the money together, baby.
No, I like the way you think, Chris.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
So now the crazy thing is, and again, I may be wrong, so I always apologize. I do my due diligence, but I could be wrong. Will got on the show. You both auditioned. You did not. And then you came in six episodes before the end of the season. Somehow you came back on. That had to be weird. I mean, because you guys came up together. You all auditioned. You didn't get it. Then you did get it. It just, I can't imagine that roller coaster ride.
It was a little bit like, oh, what happened? Well, I didn't go. I wasn't. How can I explain it? I was not there the night that Lauren went to the Growlings to see us perform. I happened to be out of town. Nobody knew he was coming. Mm-hmm. So it was like he was coming, and we already had auditioned for SNL, and so we all of us were kind of in the same boat. It was me and Sherry and Will and Jennifer Coolidge as well. So we're like, all four of us were like, we didn't know what was going on. And our agents were like, I don't know the process. I think we'll hear yes or no or something sometime, mm-hmm. you know, at least before the season starts. And then I went back east, you know, with my girlfriend, and we went back and we just got the call. I was going out with Jennifer Coolidge at the time, and we went out. We went back east to visit her dad, and we just found out that Lauren was going to the Growlings. I was like, oh, we can't fly back. Well, and then they got the show, which was fine. I mean, and then we watched the show, and then six episodes before the first season, Will called me and he was like, do you want to join the show? I'm like, oh, he said, yeah, Lauren asked me to call you and I like you to come on. And I was like, wow, my God. Okay. Well, yes, obviously.
You know what, by the way, a ballsy move would have been have Lauren call me and just hang up the phone. That would have been ballsy.
Well, they both were like, obviously, wanting me to come out. Whatever. I don't know the process. So. But Will called me and asked, and Lauren said, would you like to come on? And so I went and moved that week into a hotel, and you know, and this guy, a producer, Mike Shoemaker, who's one of the greatest guys, and he's one of the producers of Seth. He's a producer on Seth Meyers right now. And he was a producer back then on SNL. And he was like very helpful with like, okay, you're going to stay here. Cause I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
How can I start on a week when there's a show happening this week? Cause usually you start before the cast.
I don't remember. Has it ever been done since then? Do you know that answer that anyone's ever been on mid season, even towards the end of season replacements?
They used to have mid seasons. Replacements, but they would like kind of make it an announcement. This was just like I just got right before the six shows before the end of the season. So that's never happened before.
So weird.
Yeah, but it was great news for me.
Right. It's amazing. And then your first character, which is one of my favorites, was that guy, Sewell Forrester, who doesn't speak English, which I fucking love that character. I've probably seen that episode so many times. It's so great.
It was like, you know, good afternoon. I'm Sewell Marner. I'm going to be here.
So great.
What's funny is that on the cue cards, people are like, do you have lines or you make it up? But like, I actually do have lines on this.
They say like, follow me. Ha-da-ha, just says that on the word.
To know when to talk.
So great.
If I'm just going to go, whatever, which is not what I'm saying. I'm actually saying words, but it's just kind of like twisted. So you could just barely think it's a word.
Right.
That was my first sketch on the show. And Lauren believed in me, and he was like, put it in. And it got great laughs in the dress rehearsal. And so it made it on air. So my first week that I was hired, it made it on the episode that I was on. And I think everyone in the cast was kind of like, who's this guy? You know, all of a sudden.
That's my logical question, because you always hear these stories about how writing and new cast members, that there's like this tension of who gets sketches on the air and who doesn't. And here's this new guy showing up with six episodes left and he gets his first bit on the air.
It wasn't tension. It was just like a little bit like, oh, I mean, I didn't feel it. Everyone was very nice. I mean, mm-hmm. I already knew Molly because there was such a buzz about her, about doing Mary Catherine. And she was doing that. And she had her own show, I think, in Santa Monica. There's a great theater there that she did that. I heard about that. Like, other theaters would hear about other theaters. And so I knew when I got there, I was like, oh my God, you're amazing. And then, and of course, Will and Sherry, I knew. So them I knew. And it was, and everyone else was new to me. So, but everyone was really nice, you know. I just think at the read through, it was just a little like, you know, that's all. But everyone was super nice. I don't think there was like an announcement like, hey, we have a new. Maybe they did. Maybe
were
there was
you listed as a featured player or a cast member when you came on that week?
Oh, no, I was a featured player. Featured player. And then the next season, I became a regular cast member.
Okay. And it's also, by the way, it's funny, like two of my favorite, I mean, there's so many sketches that you were in that I love, but both of them, you play a army sergeant. And the other one is the one that got cut for time with Will as the prospector that seemed to have gone viral over the past few years, right? That one, somebody found new life in the past few years.
Yeah, it's a really funny sketch. It's hilarious. And I think I had a hard time not being able to not. I was trying not to break.
I think you're the only one that doesn't break in that sketch, I think. Yeah. Everyone breaks in that sketch.
Same with Cowbell. I'm trying not to break because Will's so funny and everyone else is breaking. So it's hard not to break. So, but I tried my best not to break.
That one, which is such a funny sketch, was cut for time. Do you have any sketches in your mind that you did that never made it?
There was a coffee guy who had to walk around with a coffee mug, not a mug, but a pot of coffee. I was like, Folgers, you ban, Folgers, and you know, like I was just half for coffee. And they're like, how long you been up for? Oh, like 4 days.
That's great.
You know, and I was like the coffee guy, and so that didn't. Whatever, it just didn't play well.
All right, before we go any further, here's what it is, James.
Yes,
I love when it's sponsors I can get on board with.
I feel like this is okay.
Sometimes it's stuff that like I know that our fans use, and I know like Shannon uses or Jay uses, but I don't vape. I don't do things like that. But when it comes to fucking my ding dong, you want that shit to work.
Well, I mean that's the theory,
and the way to do it is with the chewables from Blue Chew.
The Blue Chew.
So here's the thing. Because they're chewable, it happens faster.
Okay.
Same ingredients as the other guys, right? But it cures basically all forms of erectile dysfunction. If you're going out, look, I'm 51, going to be 52 in like 5 weeks. Maybe you want to go round two and feel confident. Maybe you just want to know that this is going to happen no matter what.
It's a Chewables of Blue Chew.
Sometimes when I go out on a date, you just never know what happens. Sometimes I go to the girl's house, she plays sad fucking music. Like, how am I going to listen to the White Album and keep it hard? Blue Chew.
Blue Chew. Not Blue only Chew. That, sometimes you go out with a girl that's way hotter than you should be going out with, which is the story of my life.
What are we going to do?
Right? And you get a little nervous. You know what you do? Chewables from Blue Chew.
Get it in.
Just do it. Get it in. Get it done. Get it in. Get it done.
Handle it.
Chew it and do it.
Like Tony Clifton. Chew it, do it, boo it, moo it.
Yeah, there you go. So go to BlueChew.com. Use the code SDR. First time you do it, first order is free. You just pay the $5 shipping. And I say this all the time. The sponsors that have been with us for a while, they're supporting the show. Support them. Go to BlueChew.com. Stock up your chewables. You get a quick, easy meet with a doctor online. It's done. No weird conversations at a pharmacy. Just get those dick pills to your house and get some dick going on.
Yeah, stop pussyfooting. Go get your dick pills, goddammit. Be a man.
No pussy, all dick.
Yeah, all dick pills.
All right, let's get back into it. And let me ask you, because I've only been to the show once. I got to watch the show record once in my life, which is amazing. And feel free not to dish with this statement, but very often you look and you feel like the guest hosts either want to play ball or they want to look cool, right? And a good example would be recently Harry Styles came on, and he just looked like,
He was
cool.
Amazing, though.
He was great, right? He just seemed like
so good.
He wanted to play ball. He wanted to have fun. That's what he was there. Justin Timberlake would be another example of that, where someone I didn't really like, and then I see them, I'm now like, oh, I like this guy, right?
Yeah.
Were there either guest hosts in your tenure there that surprised you with how good they were, or surprised you with how unwilling to play ball they were? And feel free not to shit on anybody if you don't want to.
Well, I think everyone was willing to play ball for sure. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. But
I don't know if that's true. I think
Derek Jeter was really good. He was really. Oh, what am I talking about? The first time The Rock hosted was like, this guy's so really good. Because at that time, he was a wrestler and he had all his wrestling friends on. And it was like, this guy's really good. And I think that.
You're going to make Shannon. You just made Shannon so happy. That is her male crush. It's also my male crush, if I'm being honest. But she's. Her favorite guy in the world is The Rock. He just made her day.
He's just good at everything.
Look at that. That fixed her posture, Chris. I don't know if you noticed that. You just said The Rock, and all of a sudden, any trace of scoliosis popped out of that son of a bitch. I've never seen anyone just, I mean, that was like Mount St. Helens in the 80s. Oh, my God. Look at you, kid.
Put that next to the turkey that Hathaway said.
Why not? We're coming up with products left and right, Chris. So then I don't mean to harp on SNL. We'll move along a little bit. But I was at like 3 years ago now, which I think probably one of the most iconic sketches of all time. You guys reunited for I Wish It Was Christmas Today on Jimmy Fallon. Was that ever released as a single, as a song, like actually to download and make money off of? And who wrote that song?
Horatio Sanz wrote that song. And Jimmy joined on as the keyboardist. And then Tracy was just in the hallway. He jumped on. And then they were like, who's going to hold the keys? And they were like, how about Chris?
And the head twist. Okay. The head twist the whole time. It just
I was like that. So Tracy was like doing this. I said, well, I guess I'll do it like that. I don't know. You just make a choice. It's so interesting. Right. Like, you just make a choice and you don't really think too hard about it. And everyone's like you just even remember that I did that.
And then it's funny. You make a random choice and then it's something that'll get analyzed by other comics for the next 25 years. Like, I remember there's a great story with Paul McCartney where someone asked him, oh, we noticed you change basses midway through the song. And is that because the 10, this and that because of the strength? Like a very, he goes, no, the bass went out of tune. I grabbed the next bass and that's what happened. Like, so very often is like what you just said. Well, he was doing this. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to do this. And that's what it turns into comedy gold, which is great.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing. That's how I am about music. I mean, obviously I freaked out. Okay. I remember when I met Bon of U2, I had all these questions about him as a performer. You know, I was just like, I think he actually appreciated that I was so into his performance. It was like, I was all freaked out about the Zoo TV tour because he did that character, The Fly.
And that's my first concert. That's my first concert.
Oh my God. I was like so into that concert. And I went like three times that week that they're in LA. And I saw them when they did a pre-show before it became a stadium show too.
Wow.
And I was one of those guys that would like, I got to get the bootleg. And then like he changed the song. Okay. You know that song Bad? Like if you twist and turn away, that one.
Mm-hmm.
So he, are you crying?
that holds a real place in my heart. God. Just so you know, I play that at my mom's funeral. That's like one of my favorite songs.
Oh, okay.
That's the best song in the world. Wow. No, play it. Tell the story.
James,
this is great.
James, right, way to bring the fucking show down, James. Sorry. Thanks a lot.
It's not the happiest song in the world anyway, guys. So don't fucking throw this at me, okay? Please, Chris, tell the story. It might make the song mean even more to me. Please, I might see her ghost tonight. So please go through with
Shannon,
this.
Did any of your cats die to this song? Jesus Christ. Okay, Chris, let's.
Tell the other story of So Cruel. And then Shannon will be like, oh, my cat jumped out of a window. It was So Cruel.
You guys are really jinxing my cats here.
Please your cats stop. Will be fine. Your cats listen to REM. They don't listen to you too.
They're big REM fans.
Yeah. No, I do. Oh,
but so go back to Bono.
So what was I saying? Okay.
About the song Bad.
I was talking to him about that song Bad and how, because he would like in the middle of the song, he would turn it into, he would go, pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name during that song. And I was like, I can't believe that you went to that song. And he's like, he was acknowledging that those beats sounded like another song.
Right.
Basically. But he was also sharing it. Anyway, I had these questions that I was just like, you know, why did you do that? And we just went in that direction. There's a documentary about them. And he's like, you can hear there's a bootleg where they're literally practicing one song and they're like, he's like, starts off going, because he doesn't have the lyrics yet.
That's great.
And he's
That's so
following
cool.
the Edge, and the Edge is like, has it. And then Bono's got some lyrics, and then Larry Mullen comes in, and then it's like you can hear their process. It's like a 3-hour process of getting to what becomes basically, I think, one and also the real thing. And
wow.
Another song, and you're like, that's basically they got 3 songs out of that
from a jam session. That's wild.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd be more nervous?
Like, the process, you know, and that taught me like, wow, the process of improvising, not just with music, but obviously how I was raised is improvising with the Growlings, what they teach you there. Right. You know, it's like that improvisation is like so key to writing and so key to, you know, to performing music too. I didn't even know that.
Do you think you'd be more nervous than the first time you met Bono or if you do meet Hathaway? Which one would be?
I would be nervous to meet Hathaway.
And then also, not to touch on a sore subject, but it's kind of a unique scenario. 2 of your most famous sketches involve head movement, be it.
That's true.
Right. And then you broke your neck.
I can't believe it. Like, your 2 of your sketches involve head movement.
Yeah.
And then, like, so specific.
It's just weird.
There's head movement going on in your sketches.
And then, no, but then you break your neck. You know, you're known for neck movements in both sketches, and then you break your neck.
Why not? Yes.
Right.
And then I get physical therapy, and that's what happens. It happens to people sometimes. You know, Buster Keaton, another hero of mine, he broke his neck. Oh, it's a helicopter. I gotta go. I'm under arrest. I mean, never mind. It's my private jet.
Buster Keaton.
So Buster Keaton, he broke his neck and he didn't know it for like 8 years, apparently. So
wow.
It was
okay.
Yeah. So That's I thought crazy. That was, inspiring.
Listen up, all you people with broke necks in the world.
If you're not breaking your neck, you ain't trying for comedy, dog. You don't.
And
want
then also, also, by the way, happy belated birthday. I think it was like 2 weeks ago. So happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday,
thank
man.
You very much.
And speaking of anniversaries,
a big one since there's COVID.
How old? Oh, because there was nothing happened, right? Nobody was around. That's funny.
No, I had a couple people over. It was very sweet.
And speaking of like monumentous occasions, we just passed the 20th anniversary of Corky Romano, which we were talking about before you came on. All of ours, one of our favorite movies. Like, I fucking love that movie. And the line that I say all the time, which is from the scene where you do cocaine, which is, I should buy a boat. I'd say yes. That all the time. Just a fucking brilliant scene. Just a great movie. And I love the scene where you get in trouble where it looks like you're sniffing underwear because you hurt your nose and you break into the into
oh, that's
the club.
So specific. Yeah, that's
so specific.
Right.
It just makes me laugh every time because I'm often referred to as looking like a creep for no reason. And that's what that was. So that makes sense to me. It speaks to me. But we all love that movie so much. I think it's one of the, looking back now, which happens a lot with comedies, they get panned when they come out. Like The Jerk was released and rated as one of the worst movies of all time.
How is that possible?
It became one of, when it got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
When it came out, it was, you said that?
Yeah,
and I loved it when it came out.
But reviews are horrible. When it got inducted, Steve Martin read all the reviews from the release.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, which is hilarious. And I think very often comedies just don't speak to the critics, but the people love it. And that's, I mean, Shannon and I were saying, oh, it was just one of my, I just think it's such a fucking funny movie.
Yeah, I remember I was having lunch with a friend and Leonard Maltin came over. You remember, you know Leonard Maltin?
Yeah, of course.
He writes those big fat books, those movies on TV books.
Yeah.
For those who buy books nowadays, I don't know if they know what a book is, but he wrote this big fat book and Corky Romano got like 1.5 stars. I was like, I remember that vividly because I loved Leonard Maltin. Because in high school, I watched all the 4-star movies. Mm-hmm. Like, almost every night, as much as I could, because I love movies so much. So he, I was like kind of uneasy when he complimented. It was my Rudolph. We're having lunch, and he went over and said, "Oh, I love you, and you're amazing to her." And I just, I was like, "Does he know that he gave me a 1.5 star, or gave that movie a 1.5 star? Should I say something?" How would he remember? It's such a big book of reviews. Yeah.
But I'm sure he's used to that. I'm sure any movie that he gives a bad review to, he's probably, if he ever runs into those people, he knows it's going to be an issue. I would have to imagine that, right?
I would think so. Yeah, like I gave him 3 stars.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, before we go any further, James, this is what I'm going to tell you, right?
Please.
Sometimes there's products I don't know much about, so I defer to the people I do know that know about this. We're talking about YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, the best value in Kratom shipped directly to your door, no questions asked. Who drinks Kratom more than anyone I know?
Who?
Shanoonie Pants.
Oh, of course.
Shanoonies?
I actually, I always have about a teaspoon in my mason jar. And this morning here in the studio, Justin Silver was here and he took almost all of my daily supply of your
Why'd
Kratom.
You let him do that?
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, can I have a little bit? And I thought he was going to take a sip. And then he like poured 3/4 of it into a cup. But it's a popular commodity around these
parts.
It is
a popular commodity around here. And you love the Train Wreck, which is like a bunch of different strains mixed together.
Yeah, it's a blend of like all of, my opinion, the best strains. And you can only get it from your Kratom.
Yeah, go to yourkratom.com. High quality curated Kratom. Wholesale prices shipped directly to you. $60 kilo. Sometimes you go to a gas station. A bodega, that shit might be sitting on the shelf for a year or two.
You don't need that shit.
Though. You want to fucking feel good like Shannon? How you think how Shannon puts up with all this shit that we put her through?
A lot of shit.
Yeah. And how?
Kratom.
YoKratom. YoKratom.com. $60 kilo. Go to YoKratom.com. They've been supporting the show. They supported Skankfest. We went and had lunch with them one day and got some burgers. Cool dudes. What more do you need to know? Go to YoKratom.com, stock up on some $60 kilos. Let's get back into it.
It's a pretty cheap kilo.
Pretty good kilo.
I've heard rumors.
Yeah, you stick
I watch your, Miami Vice in the 80s.
You stick your pinky in it, you do the little thing, you feel really cool.
Is it good?
Yeah, I love the Train Wreck. All right, let's get back into it.
So now, we mentioned Fred Wolf earlier, the movie 40 Love, which is out now. It's on Amazon Prime. I watched it. You played a scene where you come out of a bathroom and you're screaming at him. It was really funny. And you said some weird term like, dip tard? Something made me laugh. What do you call the guy?
Dip turd.
Dip turd. Just like the term very much.
Really great.
It's my own word. I don't use it that often, but I did say dip turd.
It's a good word.
And now,
the next movie that's coming out is Famous, and I don't know much about that. It's coming out in December. What is that movie about?
That's about growing young stars growing up in show business in the 80s, basically. And I play a director.
That's cool. I like that. Yeah. And do you enjoy? So now, you know, you transitioned into stand up from being basically an improv guy. Was that a difficult transition? And also the transition from improv to acting, it's like trying to remember lines. Like, how difficult were those two transitions?
They were helpful as a performer. So when I do stand up, sometimes I improvise a lot. You know, I will like do have a set, and then I will just say, I'll just start talking to the audience and do what they say called crowd work. But my work becomes, I just start like talking to different people, and then something ends up happening and their stories start matching someone else's, and it becomes almost like material. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, a lot of the times that happens.
And are you loving stand up?
I do love it. But I love that part of it the best. I love the people, like talking to the people the most. That's my favorite mm-hmm. part of it for sure. You know, I like doing my set and telling jokes and getting the capability of having an outlet. Like, you know, I mean, it's all about the people. That's the best part of stand up, you know. Right. But I like getting to do my material and then, you know, obviously having a place where when you can go home and then you can have a conversation with somebody or have dinner with a friend. And then you're like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. And then I said, I'll try for like tonight. I'm going to do a little set at the Improv tonight. And I went to dinner with a friend last night, and we were just talking about, she had a glass of wine, and I was like, oh, I don't drink, you know? And she's like, I said, like, you ever go to like one of those wine places where they're like, would you like an oaky, smooth old, this one tastes like a violet kind of smooth rugby tang twist. With a righteous little hem, you know, like it's going to tap the tongue with a little croach, but it'll salive and then come back and then turn. And it's $180,000 a bottle. It's from 1901. And it's from the vineyards of Toronto, Spain. It's a Toronto in Spain. And it's very small. There's a very small well with, I'm improvising right now.
Obviously. But, you know that about 10 years ago, they invited all the top sommeliers of California to try out these new wines. And the guy served them all the same wine four times with all different descriptions, and none of them figured it out.
Wow.
Which I love that story, because it's all, like you just said, it's all in the in the pageantry.
Yeah, it's like, what? How does this taste like a branch? You basically described a branch with dirt.
I have one last question for you, because we don't have much time with you, but do you obviously stay in touch with John Lovitz and Tim Meadows. Are there other cast members that you still talk to regularly from your day?
Yeah, of course. We're mostly, everyone's indoors though. I mean, you know, I'll go out occasionally and whatever, shop for a pair of pants once a month or something. Yeah. I mean, you can't really go out much.
Yeah, these days, the last couple of years. Right,
but Fred Armisen came over for my birthday. He was there, and that was cool to see him. And I do talk to people, you know. But again, I think a lot of people have they're with their families, and I don't have children, and I'm, you know, currently not in a relationship, and I don't have I'm not married, so I'm not I don't have those family responsibilities right now.
Right, you're preaching to the choir there, buddy.
I don't have any children on a soccer team.
Right. All right. That gives you more time.
If they play that now, I don't even know. Maybe they do that on Zoom. Like
Zoom soccer?
Zoom soccer sounds hot, bro. Let's get some Zoom soccer going.
What the hell is that? What is that you just held up?
What is that?
Oh, my God. My nieces and my nephews have those. I know exactly what that is.
Yeah, they're very popular now. They're
is that a dinosaur?
It's a dinosaur, but it's like a pop. It's like kids love them.
Bubble wrap,
yeah,
that you get to use endlessly.
That's what I said. I said this is like a bubble wrap thing.
So once you pop it on one side, you can flip it over and do it again.
Yeah, but this is like either going to drive me crazy or I'm going to get bored real quick.
Yeah, it's like the newest fidget spinner kind of thing.
Yeah, apparently kids love these.
Right. Okay. So stupid. They're just ridiculous.
No, I'm going to buy one right now on Amazon. I'm going to be a part of the trend, dog. I'm a part of society,
Chris,
bro.
Did, Did you pick the dinosaur? Or someone gave it to you.
No, it was given to me.
All right, all right. I just want to know if you're a big Tyrannosaurus.
Where is that thing? I don't know where that is. It was like sometimes I go on tour and they give me things. Oh, here it is. Wait, hold on. It's under the iPad. Here.
What?
What's going on, bro?
Is it a mosaic? What am
this
I looking
is
at?
A mosaic of me. I
get it's you, but that's so weird.
It's great. Yeah.
Well, it is, but can you see it's got beads?
Yeah, that's that's wild. That's so cool.
It took a lot of time.
It's a lot of effort.
That's a lot of effort.
They have like at home kits.
Well, there was just an earthquake wherever Chris
is. Uh-oh.
There's no earthquakes.
Show everything you get, Chris. This is the greatest thing I've seen in a long time.
We saw your crotch for a second, too, which was pretty cool.
Doing good, buddy.
Come on. I'll sell everyone. That's a rock that someone did a face of me.
Wow. Way to tie the interview together. Your favorite guest was The Rock, and now you're on The Rock.
It just
works out perfectly.
Full circle.
All right, Shannon, we got to do the first with this man. We don't have much time left.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We ask everybody this question since the dawn of time. We start with concert. What was the first concert you went to, ideally on your own volition?
Like my choice?
Yes.
Well,
there's a story that you didn't pick that you went to that sticks out more, you know?
I will say technically I chose to go with my dad, and my dad brought me, as he would take me a lot of events to get with me. He would take me to a lot of events with him. And this was it was Robert Plant and the Black Crowes opened.
Wow. That is a great one.
Excellent concert.
Oh, excellent. Awesome. I saw the Black Crowes with a band called
Universal Amphitheater.
I'm sorry.
Had an amphitheater.
Oh my goodness.
How old were you at the time?
Probably 13, maybe.
Oh wow. We just lost Chris.
I don't know what happened. I'm still here, though.
I saw the Black Crowes at a band called the Four Horsemen open for them, and they got into a fist fight on stage and broke up. It was pretty wild. That was a great moment.
Wow. That's so great.
It was a fucking great moment.
I'm going to just throw this in, too. Also, another concert was amazing that I really wanted to go to, and I did get to go to. Back that right around that same time was Comic Relief. Remember Comic Relief?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's the best.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
And like, you got to go because your father had juice, I guess. Your father was involved. So that's how you were able to go at that age?
No. He was a fan of other people's work. He just loved comedy.
Oh, that's great.
He wasn't involved in it. No, that was like the hosts were Robin Williams, Billy Crystal, and Whoopi Goldberg. And like everybody was there. And then
I thought he could walk up to the front and say, look, it's Taylor Smurf. Let me the fuck in. I thought.
Put Taylor Smurf on stage.
Now, the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
Weed was my first drug. And I took it from my dad's drawer and I smoked it. he slept in. And I was like so bored in the morning because I wake up early. And this was like. Probably around, again, the teens, probably by 12 or 11. No, not that young. Probably 13 or 14, something like that. And I had one toke, and I was like, and all I did was roll around in the carpet in the living room on my own, going, this feels amazing. I was like tripping out. Because if you never feel anything other than nothing, and you finally feel something, anything mind altering. Thank you.
We'll go with alternating. Alternating.
You're going to go like, what the hell is going on? And then I told him, Dad, you can't do drugs. And I flushed him down the toilet.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's great. And you say, I learned it from you, Dad. I learned it from you. And now the first time you had sex.
First time I had sex was I was 16, and it was a woman that was, let's see, she was 19.
I like this story already.
And I was very confused. I was really confused what was happening. Because you know, other than today, I didn't know anything about pornography back then, or mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, there weren't, like, you know, my dad had Playboy, so I saw naked women, but I never saw anything pornographic or anything right. like that. So I had no sense of, like, any kind of whatever, you know what I'm saying?
And of course, yeah.
Things going in places.
Mm-hmm.
Things going in places.
And it's a very delicate way of describing sex, Chris. I like that.
See, if you would have had Penthouse or Hustler, you would have had, it would have been a little better for you. But Playboy, you ain't going to learn shit.
Yeah, I know. I did not. Well, no, you did know what beauty was. It was well,
with beauty, but like, yeah. you don't know X's and O's. Anyway,
I mean, say this. I love that headline. Right. If I go to a lady, I go to a girl and say, Miss, may I put things in places?
I just didn't know where to what. No, I know where to do that. I know where to put my thing.
You know what place to put your thing. All right. And it was a one-off time with this girl. She's 19, you're 16.
It was like a 45-minute thing.
Oh, wow. 45 like, minutes?
Well, because I kept talking about it while it was happening. Like, wait a second. Is this really happening?
Oh,
great.
I thought maybe because you were putting your thing in all the wrong places for 43 of those minutes.
No, it only went to one place, the right place, and a woman.
Well,
The usual, most
one of the top three places.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
fair enough way to put
it. Yes, the one that you see on HBO.
Okay,
I go off the menu. I like to use the ear, but what are you going to do? You know, it's 2021.
I don't know what to say. Anyway, so that was it was. I didn't get to, you know, that didn't happen. So the 2 days later, I was like, "Ow! Why are these hurting so bad?"
Oh, oh my God!
Yeah.
What happened?
He got blue balls.
Didn't
blue
finish.
Balls. I was talked about, yeah. Oh. And then I was told how to relieve myself.
Well, I've heard that story a lot, by the way. That's pretty wild. I listened to a science podcast called Science Versus, and the question was, is blue balls a real thing? And it is a real thing. I always thought it was a myth.
Is it? Well, you don't know? Oh, why?
I never had a direct experience of it. No, I would always either take care of myself at the moment in time.
I see.
So I never had to experience.
I would obviously know that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I just, who knows? Yes, James?
I thought it was a myth too. And then one day I was like making out with a girl on rocks in Vegas. I know it's weird. We don't have time for the full story. We made out and whatever and did other things, but we didn't have sex. And then I drove all the way home to North Vegas and I was in pain and I didn't know what to do. So I called my buddy Franny and I woke him up in his bed with his fiance. He's like, what's going on? And he put me on speaker. She's like, sounds like he's got blue balls. Click. And then I was like, all right. I didn't know it really existed. I thought it was like a rumor or just something you said. It's like, you know, every
comedian. Yeah, me too. I thought it was a way to get in a girl's pants. I didn't know it was a real thing.
They don't turn blue, obviously, but it really hurts.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yeah.
I guess technically it means your sperms are going, let me out of here.
Yeah, I think so, basically. All right, so you could follow Chris at Chris Kattan Official, 1126, 1127, San Diego Laugh Factory, 1210, 1211, The Bird in the Book in Maryville, Tennessee. The book that's out is Baby Don't Hurt Me, Stories and Scars from Saturday Night Live, which came out in 2019. The new movie Famous comes out in December, and 40 Love is out now on Amazon Prime. Is there anything else you want to plug before we wrap this up, sir?
Did you say the show Hey Kattan? You did. You said that.
Yeah, and Hey Kattan is coming out. Yeah, we talked about that. Hey, it's being released everywhere, too. Anything else?
I think that's it.
All right, we'll go around the room.
My Instagram is Chris Kattan Official. Yeah.
Chris Kattan Official.
You said a lot. You said almost everything that's going on this month.
I try to be very official and very thorough, nice. My friend. James, your plugs?
The James Madden on Instagram. And by the time you're hearing this, my new album dropped November 12th. The Check Spot came out. It was me, Chris, improvising with the audience while they pay their bills. A question and answer. They're drunk. They're paying their. It's the worst part of the comedy show. Whole album, The Check Spot. The video's coming in January, but this is the album. Please check it out. It means a lot to me. It's the world, everybody. Fuck yeah. All right.
Fuck yeah. And Shannon, your plugs?
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have comedians, musicians, porn stars, reality TV stars come on and tell their personal experiences with their worst date, a time they got into a street fight, and their experiences with the paranormal.
All right. So now we ask this question. Chris, don't give any indication, please. Don't give any indication. Does Chris believe in ghosts? I'm going to say yes. James? Yes. Shannon? Yes. Chris, do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in spirits. Is that good enough?
Yeah, we accept it.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right, follow me everywhere. Follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton, my other show on health and wellness called the Good Sugar Podcast that I do with the founder of Juice Press. Comes out every Monday, and we're opening up our first store before the end of the year. Dude, honestly, it was an honor to have
Thank you
on.
Thank you.
Big fan. And also, we add a song to the playlist every week. How could we not add the song that James's father died to, I believe?
My mother.
Is Bad by You Too.
I never met my father. Let's make it more sad. Let's put it all around.
You never even met him?
I never met my dad. I'm a bastard.
Well, then why is this so upset?
No, it was the mother. His mother. Oh. He played. I made a mistake. So let's all play.
Upsetting childhood.
Why do you think he's a comic, Chris? For God's sakes, let's all raise our lighters to James's mom and YouTube's Bad. And Chris, thank you so much. And we'll see you next time on the SDR show. Peace.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the SDR show.